Open your Bibles tonight to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 5. And we want to tune in tonight on some of the words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke concerning resurrection. In verse 25 of John chapter 5, listen to Jesus. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." It's already here, and now is. "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, you think about this. He's not speaking about those who are dead and buried out in the cemetery. He's talking about those who are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. They that hear, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They that hear shall live. For as the Father, that's God the Father now, hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son, that's Jesus, to have life in himself. As God the Father is, so is God the Son, when it comes to life. And hath given him authority. God the Father has given Jesus authority, power, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. He says it again, another hour, in the which all that are in the grave. Now, these are the ones who are physically dead. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. The dead shall come forth from their graves unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. So not only are the saints going to be resurrected from the dead, but also the wicked dead shall be raised also, resurrected. Now tonight I'm going to direct my thoughts to the resurrection of the just. And at a later date, we'll talk about the resurrection of the unjust. They do not happen at the same time. There's about 1,007 years difference between the raising of the just and the raising of the unjust. But there is going to be a resurrection of physical bodies. Those that have died and are buried out in some cemetery, or in some cases they've been cremated and their ashes scattered somewhere. When I go back to Grand Prairie, Texas, I go out to that little cemetery and I visit the grave site where my dad and mother are buried side by side. They didn't die at the same time, but they're buried in the same place, side by side. And I can stand there by that grave, and with the assurance of God Almighty in my soul, I can know that my mother and daddy will be raised from the dead because of God's word. I haven't been back down to Charles' grave since we buried him on that cold January day. But Charles will come out of the grave the same way. Amen. The Bible is full of words and terms that refer to resurrection. You go through there, you'll find, I made a note of some of them: raise, rise, risen, rose, rising, resurrection. All these starting with R's. Get them first. Life, liveth, alive, make alive, quickened, begotten, and awake. Amen. Those, every time that you run across those words in the text of the scriptures, you know that he's talking about resurrection of the dead. Resurrection. The doctrine of the resurrection of the dead is a very integral part of Christianity. I don't think you can have Christianity without resurrection. It just doesn't make sense, does it? Now, the Jews in the Old Testament days, those that believed the Bible, their Old Testament, they believed that it taught resurrection of the body, resurrection from the dead. And they believed that it consisted of life in the body in fellowship with God. That is resurrection. Life in the body in fellowship with God. Death is just the opposite. It's separation from the body, separation from fellowship with God. They believe that such fellowship requires the resurrection of the body. Now, let's go back to Jesus' day. You had a group of people known as the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. In Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 8, a good example of this, because we have the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem on trial before a council composed of Pharisees and Sadducees. And as Paul is giving his defense, he makes this statement. He said, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. That was why he was on trial, because he had been preaching through Christ the resurrection of the dead. Now, he had a motive in saying this, because as his council was composed of Pharisees and Sadducees, he knew that the Pharisees on that council, as the scriptures say, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. So he knew that the Pharisees were on his side. And that's what he was trying to do. If you remember, over in Bethany, there was a home there that Jesus visited quite often. There was Mary and Martha and Lazarus that lived in this home. Lazarus got sick. The girl sent word to Jesus. He delayed his coming until after Lazarus died. And according to the custom of the Jews, after he died, they buried him. They put his body, prepared his body for burial, and laid his body in a tomb. And Jesus came, finally. And they were fussing at him because he hadn't come sooner. Lord, if you'd come sooner, you could have healed him of his illness and he would still be alive. And Jesus said, well, your brother will rise again. And Martha made the statement to him. Here's what she believed. She said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Martha, and I'm sure Mary, as well as Lazarus, believed in the resurrection of the dead. And that's when Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. And that's when they went out to the cemetery where he was laid, and they rolled the stone away, and Lazarus come forth, and he raised him from the dead. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, we find the apostles of Jesus are fulfilling the great commission that Jesus had given them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The scripture says that they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And Paul, when he was at Athens, Acts chapter 17, met with those people. And the scripture says that he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. Since there is resurrection, it means that the experience of physical death is not a termination of existence.
Amen.
When you and I die, we are buried in the hope of resurrection. That experience of death just ushers us into another state of existence. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 26, verse 19. This is a wonderful Old Testament scripture concerning resurrection. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Isaiah said, I'm going to be included in that. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Remember, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. They're dwelling in dust, their bodies. Ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. And listen to this, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's resurrection. The earth shall cast out the dead. So death is not the end. And the original language of the New Testament, there are three different words that are translated resurrection in our King James Version of the Bible. But I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. You wouldn't recognize them anyway. Chances are, and I'm not going to be here tonight and give you a Greek lesson, but I just want to say that those three words in general mean to arouse from the sleep of death. Now there's a promise of resurrection in a statement that God made about his power way back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. Listen to what God says. I even I am he. And there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. Make alive, that's a resurrection, isn't it? I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. That's God's power over life and death in that statement. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus said this, "As touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God?" And he's going back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, saying, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." And then Jesus says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, at the time that God spoke these words to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, Abraham had been dead. That was in the year 1462 B.C. at the burning bush on the backside of the desert. Abraham had been dead 330 years. Isaac had been dead 225 years, and Jacob had been dead 198 years. And Jesus is saying about God, he's saying, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And he's not a God of the dead, he is a God of the living. In Job chapter 14, Job asked a question. If a man die, shall he live again? And you go on over to the 19th chapter, and he answers his own question there. Amen. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body," in other words, his body's going back to the dust, "yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold." That's hope of resurrection right there, isn't it? Yes, he said, "In my flesh shall I see God." Now, Job is the earliest book of the Bible. It was written before Moses wrote Genesis. And way back then, Job believed in the resurrection of the body from the dead. So don't ever doubt God's ability to raise the dead. Now, though it's not resurrection, but restoration of life, we see the power of God demonstrated in 1 Kings 17 when God used Elijah to raise the son of the widow of Zarephath from the dead. It's seen again in 2 Kings chapter 4 when Elisha raised the son of the Shunammite woman from the dead. And it's even seen again when the bones of Elisha caused a man to revive. He'd been killed and his body was thrown into the tomb where Elisha had been buried. And as soon as that man's dead body came into contact with the bones of Elisha, he revived and came out of that grave. Now, these revivings are not quite equal to the resurrection of the dead, because those who are resurrected never die anymore. And these men return to death. But it confirms for us the anticipation of the coming resurrection. When our Lord Jesus Christ was here during his earthly ministry, he demonstrated his power over death, first by raising the son of the widow of Nain. Remember that? He walking along with his disciples, and they met a funeral procession. They were taking the body of this young man out to the cemetery to bury him, and Jesus stopped them and raised him back to life. And then a few days, a little while later in Luke chapter 8, he went in and raised the daughter of Jairus back to life again. And then we've already spoke about the raising of Lazarus, who had been dead and buried for 4 days in the tomb. Then Jesus capped it off by his own resurrection from the dead, by coming back to life and coming out of the tomb after 3 days and three nights. His was a true resurrection, for he was the first fruits. It's recorded in all four of the Gospels. Now, when Jesus came out of the grave in resurrection glory, his body was changed. And Paul states in Romans 6, 9, Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. So in our resurrected bodies, death has no dominion over us at all. It'll never, our bodies will never die again. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter that tells us about resurrection. I just want to briefly go over some of the things in that. He starts off by defining the gospel, the good news. And that is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days, being seen of over 500 people at one time. And then he ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet. And Paul, in his argument about the resurrection, says if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Think of that. And our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. And he says if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, our faith is vain. We are yet in our sins. And all of our loved ones who have died are perished. Think about that. Somebody says there is no resurrection. Boy, that's a black paintbrush, isn't it? But Christ is risen from the dead, the Bible tells us. And because he lives, we shall live also, and he is the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep in Christ, and in Christ shall all be made alive at his coming. That's resurrection. That's resurrection. Death shall be swallowed up in victory. And resurrection is a part of the continuing redemptive work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. You see, the benefits of his death will extend through all eternity of time. Now today there are many scoffers that deny the resurrection has anything to do with the body. Some interpret resurrection as the survival of the spirit after death. Still others believe in soul sleep. They interpret resurrection as the soul awakening to everlasting life. And we don't want to be a Sadducee and not believe in the resurrection. And not believe that at death you just simply cease to exist. Now, it's teaching like this that blesses my heart and gives me hope. And I see others who are reaching the age of maturity who know that, well, they don't buy green bananas when they go to the grocery store. Because we take it a day at a time. We never know when that call is going to come. But I'll tell you one thing, when I die, I will die in the faith that at the moment of my death, my spirit and my soul will go into the very presence of Almighty God. My body will go to the cemetery, I've already bought the plot, and my body will go back to the dust. If Jesus tears his coming and I don't go up in the rapture, you understand that. I'll be with the Lord, and when Jesus comes back, I'll come back with him. And all it needs is just the call of the Lord, and I'll come out of the grave with a new body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, the doctrine of redemption. Redemption, when we get saved, includes the body as well as the spirit. Resurrection is concerned with the body, just as regeneration is the imparting of spiritual life to one who's dead in trespasses and in sins, as we read there in John in our text. That's when one is born again. So resurrection is the regeneration or the transformation of the dead body, causing one to live again in the flesh. All those who participate in that first resurrection will put on immortality. Immortal. That means they will have eternal existence in life for the entire person in a body that cannot be hurt by the second death or by corruption or by decay or by disintegration. Amen. And in their new bodies, they will be given special positions of honor and power in the kingdom of Almighty God. I'm not going to speculate at this time as to the kind of body that we're going to have or how we will look in appearance. We'll save that till a later date. But the Bible tells us that it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll have a body like his. Now, as for the lost, their resurrection is just as sure as ours. A person who's unsaved dies the same as a person who's saved. They may be buried in the same cemetery, even side by side. They will be resurrected. We'll talk about that sometime, using a text from Revelation chapter 20, when they are brought out of death and hell to be judged before the great white throne judgment of God by their works, after which they are cast into the lake of fire. Now, in closing, let me give you this. Let's consider the time, the when of the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:23 sets it as at his coming. We believe in the second coming of Christ. He is coming again. And his second coming begins with the rapture of the saints and the first resurrection of the dead. And it continues from there through the tribulation to the revelation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." And we're told that when he, in the Old Testament, that when he comes, his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. That's where he ascended from when he went back to heaven. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there'll be a very great valley in between. Jesus is coming again. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised. That's the word of God. And that's just as sure as the statement, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The word of God is sure. And there'll come a time when you and I, who believe in Christ, whether we are dead or living, if we're living, we'll be changed in a moment. If we're dead, we'll be raised incorruptible. All right, let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. We've had a good day today. It's been a wonderful day, and we thank God for his blessings. And Brother Bryant, will you lead us in our benediction tonight, please?
Our Father, it's good again to be reminded of that day and hour when you shall call into this world all that are in Christ.
Amen.
Shall go out to meet you in the air. It's good to know, Lord, that you still will save souls. The Revelation 7 tells us of multitudes that shall be saved, even during the tribulation period. And many shall know you throughout the millennium age. We're thankful, Lord, for this hope that we have of the resurrection. The Bible says this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. And he that has the Son has the life.
Amen.
And he says, "These things are written unto you that you may know that you have." And that eternal life is what we've studied tonight and learned from your word. Thank you for these good words. Bless us now this week, Lord. Remember Wayne and the sick, the afflicted folks in our church that are sick. Lift them up. Give them hope. Strengthen them. Save them. Cure them. Heal them. Let your will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.